Japan is cracking down on foreign imports, imported words, that is. Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi believes too much English is seeping into the Japanese language, and he's determined to do something about it. From Tokyo, NPR's Eric Weiner reports.
Prime Minister Koizumi's drive to purify the Japanese language started with a routine report prepared by a group of his economic advisors. The report was written in Japanese, but peppered with many English expressions, some of which stumped Koizumi himself. Words like accountability, transparency, outsourcing. If the Prime Minister has trouble understanding some of these words, Koizumi reasoned, ordinary Japanese don't stand a chance. Thus, the Japanese Language Task Force was born. Its mission? To root out unnecessary English words and cleanse the Japanese language. The head of the new task force, Mutsuro Kai, concedes he has his work cut out for him.
There are so many English words that are coming in all the time. It's like a flood. But these words don't flow naturally, so we are suggesting Japanese words that people can use instead.
The problem is, often there is no Japanese equivalent. For instance, the Japanese do not have a word for identity. There was no need in a country where virtually everyone belongs to the same ethnic group. Sexual harassment surely exists in Japan, but there was no Japanese term to describe that either. So they've taken the English expression and condensed it into sekuhara. In fact, once an English word is assimilated into Japanese, strange things happen. Words take on entirely new meanings. If you live in a mansion in Japan, that means you live in a small apartment. If you take a limousine to the airport, you're actually taking a bus. In fact, when it comes to mastering English, real English, Japanese students consistently rank near the bottom. Many Japanese seem to view English as a kind of fashion accessory, a phenomenon largely driven by the Japanese media. John Kabira hosts this popular radio show called Good Morning Tokyo. Completely bilingual, Kabira drops in English expressions and, without missing a beat, returns to Japanese.
Just say yes. If you feel all right.
Kabira acknowledges that most of his listeners don't understand English, but that, he says, is beside the point.
It's kind of a marketing tool. It gives an impression that it's cosmopolitan, it's international, it's something of the other world. And it works.
Kabira says loan words, as the English imports are known, come and go so quickly he can barely keep up. For instance, a few years ago, Japanese schoolgirls, for reasons known only to them, developed a fondness for wearing loose white socks. Rusosaksu, as the trend was known, was very hot for about 10 seconds. The point, says Andrew Horvath, author of the book Japanese Beyond Words, is that it's impossible to shield Japanese, or any language for that matter, from foreign influences.
The language is sort of like a free market. It really is quite capable of cleansing itself. People recognize what is of value for them in communication, and they don't need anybody to tell them what words to use and what words not to use.
Language is fluid, says Horvath. Words evolve, they mutate, often in unpredictable ways.
For example, you have a word like semiconductor. Well, semiconductor was for a long time semiconducta. But very quickly, it gained Japanese citizenship and became Handotai. Han, meaning semi, Dotai, meaning a conducting body. So there you have it. There's no reason to fear.
The Japanese Language Task Force, though, is pressing ahead. It will soon launch a public awareness campaign. And how, I asked the head of the task force, will they get the word out? How will they discourage the use of English? Oh, he said, that's easy. We'll be using Masukomi, mass communications. Clearly, Prime Minister Koizumi's campaign to purify the Japanese language faces some serious challenges. Eric Weiner, NPR News, Tokyo.